This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is hour number three, and as we've been promoting all morning, it's going to be a heavy NFL hour. Eric at home will join us from Yahoo Sports. Always like having Eric on. That's coming up in 6 minutes. We'll go over some of the news and notes around the NFL as they get ready for week number five. We'll talk about some of the issues around the league. You know, Baker Mayfield's dealing with an injury. You've got the Russell Wilson injury from last night. At the rematch of the AFC title game in Kansas City Sunday night between the Bills and the Chiefs. And how good are the Bills' defense right now? That opening loss to Pittsburgh is like a dream away. Speaking of the Steelers, we'll get his thoughts on where they may need to go for their quarterback. Could it actually be Aaron Rodgers people are speculating about? Andrew Filippino earlier this week threw that out there as well, and now there's even more thoughts and writing. Now, media will grab onto anything sometimes and run with it to the end of the line, even if there's nothing there. But there's been a lot of speculation about that. But where would the Steelers go? Well, we'll get all of that with Eric at home coming up. Then we're going to go through game after game all the way through the whole weekend and tell you what is worth your time and what isn't worth your time. And if it is worth your time, why? And if it isn't, why? We'll go through every single game. We start on Sunday in London. Now, I will say this. This matchup isn't good. It's Jets and Falcons. But I do like the fact that it's early. It's wake up with football on the old telly. And it, you know, gives you at least something. So you can watch it all the way through until the Sunday night game. You know, it's like brunch with the Jets and Falcons. So we'll have that coming up in just a couple of minutes. I do have to tell you that the Giants-Cowboys game is a little bit intriguing. Because, and I don't know if the NFL did this on purpose or not. I mean, they're division rivals. They could play at any time. But this game comes a year, almost a year to the day that Dak Prescott went down with that ankle injury. And it also came in week five. And it also came at home. And it also came against the New York Football Giants. All right, so there's a couple of storylines as we head into week five. But Eric Kenholm will help us out with some of the news and notes around the league. And then, of course, game by game, the thoughts behind Ron and I's crazy weekend schedules. We continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, back to the Progressive guest line we go. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Yahoo Sports' Eric Enholm joins us. Talk some NFL. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. What's happening?
What's going on? All right, last night, Seattle loses. Hey, it's week five. There's a lot of football left. Russell Wilson hurts his finger. If you were to say, scale of 1 to 5, is this a bad, bad loss? Is this a serious loss for Seattle this early in the season?
Well, you know, once they got those bums out of there, like Russell Wilson, got Geno in there to really crank things up, things look pretty good. No, I'm kidding. I mean, look, it was surprising, obviously, to see Geno come in the way he did, kind of cold, hadn't seen him in a couple of years to give this team a little bit of a spark. But, you know, you hear the pregame reports from Jay Glazer about Russell Wilson is 1,000% going to request a trade after the season again. And then you have this injury as well. You know, Chris Carson's, you know, banged up, and other guys who you count on aren't going to be factoring in. The defense has been a sieve. Yeah, it's a tough one, especially after the Rams looked kind of physically drained, I would say, chasing Kyler Murray around 4 days ago. And now, you know, they weren't able to take advantage of that at home. So I would say it's a tough one, even as good as the Rams are, because, you know, you get them in that situation. You have an athletic quarterback of your own, at least until he got hurt, and you couldn't take advantage. That's, to me, still going to sting them for a while.
All right, let's go around the league a little bit to some other games, including the big one on Sunday with the Chiefs and the Chargers. And you know how this works. We get a team that dominates for a while, and then we kind of look for holes, and it feels like we just sort of poke at the Chiefs a little bit. Have they righted their ship after their win against Philadelphia? Mahomes had 5 touchdowns, and Buffalo's loss to Pittsburgh feels like ages ago. How do you see this one?
Yeah, right. The Bills have actually, you know, have been on track. You know, their defensive line's making an impact. Josh Allen's, you know, hitting on a higher percentage of his passes. They're going to get Diggs going at the, you know, the form close to where he was last year. And for Kansas City, I mean, all the focus is on defense right now. And, you know, the way that unit started last year, very, very respectable performance on that side of the ball. They're not getting the same level of play this year. You know, they love a healthy Frank Clark to give them yet another pressure player up front. It's just not happening right now. Secondary's a little shorthanded, too. I think there was some real interest in Stephon Gilmore, but couldn't make that happen. So, you know, it's tough to say if they can slow down teams like the Chargers or the Bills. And those are the ones, you know, ultimately you're going to have to beat. We saw the Ravens, obviously, you know, be able to come back and win that game against the Chiefs earlier this season. You know, it's the dynamic offenses and the, you know, the uber-talented quarterbacks so far that, you know, have stressed the Chiefs defensively the most. So this is a great test for them. You know, they were able to kind of keep the Bills at arm's distance in the games last year. You know, they just look to be one notch higher. I don't know that there's a difference right now. I don't know. As good as the Chiefs are, as explosive as their offense is, you know, they haven't lost a step there, but are they as complete a team as they were at this time a year ago? I'm not sure.
The Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield, he's dealing with this this torn labrum, but it's on a non-throwing shoulder. He's dealing with it, though, for a while. What do we make of this? Is this important? Is this big news?
Well, it's a little bit concerning. Obviously, he didn't have a great game on Sunday. He's still trying to kind of, you know, work on his connection with Odell Beckham. And, you know, I would say anytime you're in pain, it's going to be a factor, even if it doesn't directly relate to the throwing arm. I mean, I would say it's, you know, the kind of thing that, you know, if you suffer another injury there, if you separate it or worsen it somehow, you know, then we're getting real serious. Surgery not needed now, but we don't know if that's going to be the case down the road. You know, it's obviously a little bit of good luck. He could still throw the football, but, you know, Baker's in a really interesting spot right now. And it was around this time last year where he picked up his performance. I remember some early season chatter a year ago about, hey, are we sure Baker's the future of this team?
Yeah.
Are we certain? You know? I mean, I would say it's crept back into the conversation, even if we can't, you know, stamp it in ink yet. I think there's still time for him to prove himself whether he's healthy or not.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, if this is one of those stories that sounds like it's released as the heat is coming, and then it's sort of like, here, yeah, some water on it until it blows up again.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I mean, I think Cleveland fans obviously have been through so much, and they, you know, they're at a place now that they would have dreamed of being even 5 years ago. So, you know, it's a different kind of expectation level, though. Now they've recalibrated things and saying, hey, look, we saw this team at the end of last year. We know what it's capable of. It's imperative on the quarterback playing at a very high level, though. I mean, this is, you know, this team, the other pieces can't do it by itself. As improved as the defense looks, as, you know, scary as that run game can be, as talented as the receivers are when they're healthy, I mean, obviously it's imperative for Baker to kind of put his best foot forward. And I don't know what the timing of this report means in the big picture, but it is interesting to kind of note it and say, huh, that's a little curious.
Yeah, right. Jalen Smith was released by the Cowboys. It's money they still have to pay, but it's money they don't have to pay long term. Was it surprising? I mean, Micah Parsons are saying, well, he's playing well. They don't really need him. But it's still a Pro Bowl player. Doesn't miss a game. What are the Cowboys doing with this?
Yeah, I think they just felt like he just wasn't the same player anymore, and that they, you know, the injuries affect. I mean, last year was shocking how poor he played, and everybody kind of chalked it up. Hey, maybe it's a lost season, you know, the pandemic, what have you. I mean, there are other guys who played poorly last year that we've sort of, you know, moved past the idea of them being bad players or anything like that. But I think internally, you know, you already had Leighton Vander Esch's injury concerns. You had Jalen, you know, long-time injury concerns back to the Fiesta Bowl when his career took a very, you know, different turn in college. But I suspect that they felt like he'd he lost his explosiveness. And there were always people around the league who looked at Jalen Smith and wondered whether his instincts were elite or even close to it, and that maybe he was able to have success in the past because he had that extra gear, so to speak. I don't know that that's there anymore. I don't know what kind of player the Packers are getting. I really don't. So he's going to have to maybe reinvent himself a little bit. And I think that the Cowboys had mentally moved on for a little while, even if the transaction only recently became official.
All right, I'll get you out with this. This is a story we've been talking about all week. Has Urban Meyer lost the Jaguars team? And if he has, can he get it back? Is there time to get it back?
You know, not being there and not, you know, knowing a lot of the players in the locker room, it's hard for me to say, oh, absolutely, he's lost it. But it's also hard for me to imagine that he hasn't on some level, right? I mean, after all this, some people are kind of crowing, hey, this is an issue between Urban and his family. Well, no, he brought the team involved by staying home in Ohio, not flying back with the team, and then having this happen. Imagine if a player did that. Hey, coach, you know, I got some family things I want to attend to. Is it okay if I stay in Ohio? Sure, we'll grant you this one-time thing. And then he goes out and does something stupid. That player would be pilloried, you know? And so the coach has to be held to a higher standard. And there were already those doubts. And, you know, the bizarre C.J. Henderson situation that unfolded there. And, you know, bringing in Tebow certainly brought in some raised eyebrows. And that wasn't that big a move, big a deal in the long picture. But I just think there have been enough steps to this point where this is a guy who kind of had to prove himself, and I don't think has done anything close to that. It's almost like the off-the-field stuff so far has been worse than the on-field product, and they're all in four. So, man, that's a double whammy that he's got a lot of work to dig himself out of.
Thank you for making time with us today. Really appreciate it always. We'll have to catch up with you soon, my friend. Thank you as always.
Looking forward to it, man. See you soon.
You got it. Eric at Home, Yahoo Sports, squeezing us in for a appearance on Sports Map Radio. Always like to talk to Eric, but he's a busy guy this morning. So, all right. So the games on the schedule, we'll go through every one of them. We'll tell you what you can avoid, what you definitely need to watch. And some of those games in the middle ground where you may say, I don't know about that one. And we may convince you to stick around and stay and pay attention to that because it may be important. That's all coming up next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road and not sure how much life is left in your battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Your professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, let's get rocking and rolling with the NFL schedule. Because that's what we do here. We tell you what you should watch and what you shouldn't watch, and based on a number of factors. Well, let's start with the early morning game on Sunday, because that's going to be the early morning game for a lot of you. You may wake up to football action from London. It is going to start at 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Pacific, if you really want to get up early on the West Coast. It's the Falcons and the Jets from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in jolly old England. Listen, it's not a good matchup. Blake Wilson, Atlanta Falcons, each team is 1-3 is what I'm trying to say. Zach Wilson, I should say. But it's football in the morning. It's breakfast in bed with the NFL. So can I convince people that this has got some value, even though the teams stink?
No, that's the value.
That's really the value, right?
You know, we teased it earlier that there is a good positive to this game. And it's, hey, you know what? You're having coffee watching football.
That's
probably
right.
Still in your PJs watching football. Your spouse has not hit you up with the honey-do list, and you got football on.
So there you go. Yeah, if this was on at noon or whatever, you know, most people watch it. No!
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't even know if the NFL would be televising it.
No!
Let's be real.
Watch this because it's the first thing that you may catch on your TV when you wake up. Click.
In
there's
fact,
football from London.
Do yourself a favor. The night before, just set the TV to that channel.
That's right.
Before you turn it off. That way, when you click power, you're not having to search. It's already right there.
By the way, Calvin Ridley, wide receiver for the Falcons, not going on the trip for personal reasons.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but
he hates
he's
England.
Not going. Maybe that. Yeah. Maybe he just hates England.
He hates England.
He doesn't like Welsh rabbit.
He doesn't like fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
He doesn't like chips because chips are French fries over there, and he actually wants a potato chip.
Right, exactly. All right, now in the afternoon games. How about Bengals-Packers? All right, both teams are 3-1.
This
Bengals
one's weird, right?
Bengals are surprisingly 3-1.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, you'd have been like, pass.
Yeah.
You know, but now you're like, hey, 3-1.
Okay. I'm kind of hoping that the Bengals make this hard on Green Bay. And the reason is because remember what I want to stick with my prediction that the Bengals might have a good record, not a great record, but they might be a thorn in the side to a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Where teams go, holy cow, that was tough. We had a hard time beating them. All right. We moved on. We escaped. That's my thought on the Bengals.
And you're not wrong.
Right.
You're not wrong. I mean, I do think that maybe there's a little bit of overachievement, but there's also been an easy schedule laid out in front of them.
Okay, Steeler fans are going crazy because last week Mike Tomlin looked at Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers looked at Mike Tomlin and they kind of shared a moment.
Yeah, they wink at each other?
Yeah, they kind of winked at each other and Steeler fans are like, ooh, wouldn't it be funny if that's the thing Aaron Rodgers does to every NFL coach he plays against?
Well, it's not going to work with Cincinnati.
Right, but if he looks at Zach Taylor and gives him a wink, and Zach Taylor gives him a wink, and then the Steeler fans go, oh, he's cheating on us already. this game has got some value. I think this could be interesting.
I think you're right.
I think it could be interesting. I think the Bengals are dangerous. You'd blow this off any other year Cincinnati was doing their thing, but not this year. I think Cincinnati could be dangerous. All right, how about the Vikings and the Lions? I don't know about this one.
I don't either.
I'm not a fan of the Vikings. Vikings are just disappointing all the time. Is that the right way to say that? Is that the right word?
No, it is. It is. You know what else it is?
They just let you down.
I'm tired of Kirk Cousins.
Me too.
I think that's what it is. We've always talked about, you know, people got Tom Brady fatigue because Tom Brady was always winning. I think I'm just tired of Kirk Cousins. I have Kirk Cousins fatigue because I'm just tired of him being a quarterback.
And I'm tired of everyone telling me Minnesota's good.
Yeah.
Like,
and not ever doing anything.
And then they don't do a thing. Like, the Lions are bad, but we get the Lions are bad, and we know why the Lions are bad, but this is...
And we're excited for Dan Campbell.
Yes.
Who do the Lions have? Mike Zimmerman, I'm bored of him too.
Yeah, maybe the Lions squeak out a win on the road.
Let's do it, Lions.
Let's see what happens.
Today's your day.
Think this has got a lot of value.
Nah.
I'm sorry. This is on the low end of the poll.
You got to be a fan of the teams.
Denver against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yikes. I don't even know what to say about this one. If you have a knack for feeling sad and depressed, watch Ben Roethlisberger throw a football. How about that?
I mean, are they going to lose this game?
I think so.
I think they can. I would like it if the Steelers can win, please.
Yeah, it kind of puts Denver back in their place a little bit.
It puts them back in their place.
Get out of here.
Creates a little more, separation between Chargers and the Broncos. I kind of want that. I need that in my life. So Steelers, I need you to show up, please.
Well, I think the Broncos were a little exposed against the Ravens, but one game doesn't really mean that you have. If the Steelers beat them with this putrid offense, then we can go, okay, maybe the Broncos need some work.
Yeah, maybe they're not as good as we thought.
But I would have a hard time believing that this offense could do something against that defense. Like, Steelers can't throw the ball or run the ball. What are they going to do against Von Miller and that defense?
This has like 7-7 written all over it.
Oh, God, absolutely. Like, the Steelers may need to return some interceptions or touchdowns. That's basically the only way they may win this thing. How about the Buccaneers and the Dolphins? Anytime the Buccaneers play, I think it's got some value. Giddy up, Miami. It's like figure this out. I know Tua's out, but you better figure this out with Jacoby Brissett. 1-3, don't be messing around. I know there's another wild card team, but don't fall to 1-4. Don't be messing around here.
I don't think
they're going to beat Tampa Bay at Raymond James Stadium.
Is there like a weird stat we don't know about? Like, Tom Brady is 20-0 against quarterbacks who backed him up at one point.
Hey, that's a great... I need somebody to look that up for me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that would be...
Go at it, Twitter. Go look it up.
I feel like that would be a thing, right?
Right. Go go look that up for me. Do that if you can at Tony D Radio. I'm too lazy to go find that myself, and Ron's busy doing this with us. So help me out, because you're right. That's interesting. I think the Buccaneers win this game, but you know what? I don't like saying this because I think it's cliche, and I think professional athletes work in a different way. There was a lot of emotion in that game, not just for Tom Brady. I think the whole team knew how important that was. Could there be a little bit of a letdown trap game atmosphere for this one? I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know. How about Washington against the Saints? The Saints on the road again. God, they cannot catch a break. They're like they get one game at the Superdome. It's like right back on the road.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, fortunately for Saints fans out there, put your money down. They're winning this one.
I think so too.
No, it's the odd number game.
That's true. It is the odd number game.
So, I mean, for whatever reason, the Saints are winning odd number games, not even numbers this year.
By the way, I talked to my parents yesterday. They had a great time at the Superdome. The people were very, very nice to them, They were wearing their Giants gear. That was very nice of the city of New Orleans. He said, obviously more Saints fans than the Buccaneers fans when he went years ago before Brady arrived and the Buccaneers stunk. And he said this, you know, he goes, one of the loudest places he's ever seen a game. So he's seen games all over the place. So I was kind of jealous. I've never been to the Superdome. So I was very wanting to hear the details of their experience at the big game. Washington 2-2 as well. So don't sleep on them, but you're right. I think the Saints, this has been a back and forth. They're not a very good passing team with Jameis Winston. They rank near the bottom in the NFL in passing yards, but they're one of the top rushing teams with Alvin Kamara. All right, how about the Panthers against the Eagles? Sam Darnold, 5 touchdown passes this season. Jalen Hurts only 1. The Eagles at 1-3. The Panthers coming off a loss to Dallas are 3-1 with a very good defense. It just got Stephon Gilmore. Let's see how this. I'll take this one. I need to see if the Panthers are for real here.
How many touchdown passes for Sam Darnold?
5.
You know what else?
What else?
He's leading the league in rushing touchdowns.
Is he really?
With 5.
All right. Yeah. Because he had a couple against.
Yeah.
We had one against Dallas.
So, yeah, that's your NFL leader in rushing touchdowns, yeah. Sam Darnold.
And, you know, continues to, you know, just get away from the Eagles a bit. But yep. The Panthers are that interesting team where, no, I don't think they're going to win the division. I don't think they're going to, you know, beat out Tampa Bay to the end. But if they keep playing this well, they're going to go to the wild card. They could go to the wild card if one of the teams in the NFC West falls apart. You know, they're one of those teams hanging around, so don't sleep on Carolina just yet. We may be talking about a whole different Carolina Panthers team come, November, but yeah. Right now they're 3-1.
Right now they're looking good, and there's a all chance right. For CMC to come back in this game.
We got one more minute, but let's get this out of the way quickly. This is Tennessee and Jacksonville. The Titans stink, but the Jacksonville stink even more.
Hey, you know the only guarantee you can make about this game? Urban Meyer will go home with the team.
Even
though they're at home. He'll
Urban Meyer might put him on a plane just to fly and come back just to prove that he was on a plane with them.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Hey, guys, after the game, we're going to take a flight. We're going to fly up to
Tennessee.
Up to Tennessee and back. And I'm going to take a lot of pictures to show that I was on the team flight. So 0-5, not good, but I was at least on the plane to somewhere.
At least I was on the bus ride back.
Yeah. Tennessee has won 7 of the last 10 meetings with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It makes me wonder how they lost the other 3. I don't know.
This is not.
Jags have been terrible since when they went to the AFC title game. After that, they went from
now, listen,
one game away from the Super Bowl to trash.
One thing we would say, right? The Jags have been slowly getting better.
No, right.
They've been progressing each week. Titans are coming off a really bad loss.
Real bad loss, yeah. The game they should have won. They had a number of chances and blew it.
Yeah, and that spells huge trouble for
I said that last week. I watched almost all of that game against the Jets. Every time they kicked a field goal in the first half when they couldn't get a touchdown, I go, Jets are going to win this game. This is how it happens.
Yeah.
You keep getting 3 points when you should be getting 7, and somehow the other team goes, here's an opening. I'm going to take it.
And Mike Vrabel probably ripped them all a new one.
Right.
Jacksonville is dead man walking.
Coming up, the rest of the schedule for the early games, the late games, the Sunday night game, and the Monday night game, all next on Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are rolling through the NFL schedule as we continue on Wake Up Call. Going through the Week 5 football games. All right, let's get right back to things. And we head over to Houston, where the Texans and the New England Patriots will square off at Energy Stadium. Oh, you can't beat a battle of rookie quarterbacks. Davis Mills against Mac Jones? Sign me up. Man, remember when this was J.J. Watt going up against Tom Brady? Remember those matchups? I know, right? Remember, that would be the whole thing. They would have J.J. Watt talking about how great Tom Brady is. Oh, he's so, you know, he's hard to get because he throws the ball so quickly and accurately, blah, 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 blah. And then Brady would be like, oh, J.J. Watt's a beast. You have to know where he is on the field at all times. Oh, my God. And you'd be like, oh, hell yeah, I'm in on this. I don't have anything else to say about this game.
No, what it used to be, too, is the Texans were really, really good.
Yeah.
You remember way, right. way back? The Texans were a good, decent team. But for whatever reason, Patriots always had their numbers.
Couldn't beat the Patriots. Oh, yeah. We'd have these great Houston teams. And we'd be like, oh, this might be the turn. No, it wasn't.
Nope.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah, not for sure. I mean, you know, hey, Houston was a young, up-and-coming team. Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins. Well, you had Arian Foster out of the back, or, you know, whoever out of the back. I mean, it was like a great, great unit.
These were big matchups. These were big games back in the day.
Couldn't get it done.
Nope. How about the Raiders against the Chicago Bears now that Matt Nagy went, okay, it's Justin Fields. I was just kidding. What a weird thing, by the way.
I'm thinking Matt Nagy listened to our show, and we had Deion Miller on earlier this week. He was like, oh, you know what? Those guys are right.
They are right. I'm making
what
a mess
am
of
I doing?
I better get my act together. I'm going to
one
get
of my own
of
is even questioning me. A Chicago native is questioning what I'm doing. I got to. Yeah. You got to write this ship.
All right, so Justin Fields is going to play. That's kind of cool. David Montgomery is not. That's not cool. Vegas is a pretty good football team. And I think this has got a little bit of value from the Justin Fields, let's start seeing him now. And Bill Lazor calling some plays for him, which is good.
Yep.
And the Raiders are pretty decent. And they're you know, watch out. They're pretty decent. I wouldn't bury this because the Bears, you know, are kind of iffy. They're 2-2, and with Justin Fields, I think there's an added bonus to this. So I think you should sit back and enjoy this, people who get this game in the afternoon.
I mean, it should be a fun game, honestly.
I think it'll be neat.
You know, but I'm hoping, I'm a Bears fan this weekend.
Of course.
You know, I got to be.
Get rid of all these 3-1 teams that are clogging up the division.
I need to see a whole bunch of 3-2.
Well, in order for you not to be 3-2, Ron Culver, the Chargers are going to have to beat the Cleveland Browns at SoFi Stadium on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, easy.
I think this is a great game.
This actually should be a lot of fun. I'm the type of person that's like, I want my team to play against the best at their best.
Yeah.
So I wish Odell Beckham was there.
I think this is one of those games where, I don't know, the Browns, they can run it down your throat. But this game could be where Baker Mayfield is going to have to start slinging it a little better.
I think so.
I think he may, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as well on the Chargers as they think.
No. I don't think they're going to be able to do that against that front four. The Chargers have a great defense.
I think so too. Yeah.
It's kind of I'm not going to say underrated, just maybe unknown. Like, we don't talk about their defense a lot because Justin Herbert's a star. And we're like, my God, this quarterback is unreal. And he's only in his second year. Feels like he's been here for years, how seasoned he looks.
Yeah, and we were talking to Eric Edholm about this. He is wearing a harness on his non-throwing shoulder, but it's still painful.
Yeah.
And even though you're throwing with one hand and the other one hurts, the pain can still affect you, even if the instrument that's hurting isn't directly involved in what you're doing.
And again, it doesn't need repeating, but I'll repeat it. If you and I are in that situation, we're out.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm like staying home. Like I'm eating chicken soup, watching Netflix.
I'm not even trying to work through the pain.
I'm Mac in The Program. Remember the movie,
right,
The Program?
Yeah, and he's like, right,
calling out the play. All right, defense, strong side, 4-4. Let's do it. Let's get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just all the pain in my eyes.
Oh God, that's great. Yeah, I think this is great. I think it's a good game. I think it's got some 3-1, 3-1. Both teams are really good. So enjoy that one. How about the Giants and the Cowboys? The Giants have that kick in their step, like, we just beat the Saints. Let's go to beat the Cowboys. I don't know, but the Dallas is rolling along right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know we usually will say things like, yeah, it's the NFC East, we're off the record book, doesn't really matter. Yeah. I think this one kind of does.
I think it kind of does.
I think
too.
The Cowboys are a much better team.
They are cooking. They're averaging like 31.5 points per game.
Although
Prescott's got 10 touchdown passes.
Although we do need to say this. For whatever reason, Giants always seem to do well in Arlington.
They do. It was Eli, but it's they do well there. They absolutely do well there.
Yeah.
This is a little less than the midway point because I just don't think the Giants are really up for what the Cowboys bring. But if you do get this game, watch it for Dallas because they're really playing good football right now. It's really good football.
And then get on the debate. Whether or not the Cowboys, should they keep riding with Ezekiel Elliott, which they're going to because of the money. But what's it, Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard is really stepping
up. He's fantastic to watch.
Really good. And the thing that stunk for Dallas last year, the defense is a little better. A little better. Micah Parsons is playing great. Their first-round draft pick. So how about Arizona and San Francisco? All right, what do we know about the 49ers right now at 2-2? Are they good at 2-2, or are they on the other side of 2-2?
That's a question.
Right? Is Trey Lance ready to start this bad boy?
Is he starting, or is that still Jimmy?
Jimmy Garoppolo, they're saying, at least early in the week, that he, because of the bruised calf, that he could play. Has that changed as the week progresses?
I have no idea, because I haven't heard anything on it.
I haven't heard a thing on this game. Because I think Trey Lance is going to end up starting this one. But I haven't seen anything since earlier in the week where they were pegging Trey Lance to start because Garoppolo's got that injury.
Yeah, well, I guess today will be the day because Jimmy G is practicing today.
So here we are Friday morning, and so we'll know more about this. If Trey Lance plays, this is even more fun. But I think it's still fun nevertheless.
It is, because that's another division where – you know, it's gone a little crazy. A lot of them get a cook. And you know what? I mean, honestly, watch the Cardinals play.
Yeah.
You may not know who the Cardinals are. You're going to recognize a lot of names because they seem to be collecting all the stars.
And by the way, we said about the Seattle Seahawks at 2-3, be careful. The 49ers, if they lose, they'll be 2-3. And now it's not so bad for Seattle to be 2-3.
No,
right?
Not at all.
So,
because I'm still thinking three teams come out of this division.
Me too. And Arizona... Man, if they win this, they're cooking through this division.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Slow down, Arizona Cardinals. I got to catch up with what you're doing. Because they have beaten the Rams. They have beaten the Vikings. They have beaten the Titans. They would have beaten the Niners.
Yep.
And Kyler Murray's on his way to an MVP so far. Man, he's been playing great. All right, the big one in Kansas City Sunday night. That is the Chiefs and the Bills. A 5-5. Man, the Bills, like I told Eric at home, it feels like a million years ago they lost to the Steelers. I still have absolutely no idea how that happened.
I'm telling you, they didn't realize that wasn't a preseason game.
Right, exactly.
That they still thought there was four.
This is a perfect example of don't overreact in week one. Because the Bills lost to the Steelers
and
then decided
God.
To throttle everybody they played and pitched two shutouts.
I mean, it literally was like, oh, you know what? Okay, well, the Bills, they had their moment in the sun. They're cooked now.
You know,
kind of off a little bit.
You know what? The Bills have taken that next step, it looks like.
Well, I mean, this will be a sure sign, right? Because we're still, even though the Chiefs are 2-2.
Oh, right.
We're still kind of saying, yeah, you know what? You got to beat the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl.
You know what it is? It's we did this with the Patriots. The Patriots would lose a game or two early, and you'd go, oh, what's going on? And then they go, screw you. We'll win 11 in a row. And go to the Super Bowl and win it.
Right, because we're not panicking.
Calm down.
We're not panicking about the Chiefs.
We shouldn't. The defense is a little iffy, but the offense is clicking now.
But if the Bills just go in there, and what if they put up 40 points, 40-0 on them again?
Yeah.
And they've already had two shutouts this season. What if they do it a third time? They shut out Patrick Mahomes, that offense.
Oh.
Are we just penciling the Bills in to win the whole thing? at that point?
Yeah, if they hang on for the healthy the rest of the season.
I mean, it's like that loss to the Steelers was just what they needed.
Well, let me just say this. This is what you want to see when you have a team that is dominating and everybody's thinking that they're going to see this domination for years to come. You need to look down the line. All right, who are their challengers? Challengers, go step up. And the Bills have done that. The Bills have done that. Tennessee, not quite, but we'll see. The Bills have taken that challenge to heart and are right now looking like they have said to themselves, we have got to be better than that team right there. And they're looking good. I've enjoyed it. All right, how about the Colts and the Ravens Monday night?
Colts need a win.
Yeah, the Colts do need a win. I'm sorry. I know the excuse for Indianapolis was they were given a schedule from hell to start the season. They really were. The Dolphins game looked tougher at the beginning of the season than it turned out to be. But this is another playoff opponent that they're going up against to start the season. And they got a ton of them. The Ravens are, you know, coming off that win against Denver where they felt like they put Denver back in their box. And I agree with you. That is a must situation for Indianapolis.
I really do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, you fall here. Your division's, you know, you're in your division, which still looks kind of easier, but you know, you're only a game up on Jacksonville,
right?
That's where it comes down to. And Carson Wentz needs a big win.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him try to get one. Exactly.
You know, that's the deal right there. He needs a big win.
All right, that is the value of the weekend of the NFL, including Monday night's game. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll come back, wrap up the hour, get you set for Denton Day on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Sports Map Radio. Denton Day is coming up next. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. Maybe I'll go see the James Bond movie this weekend if I've got some free time.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a bone to pick. A little, not really a bone to pick, but this time of the year, it's getting a little more difficult.
It really is, yeah.
There's too many sports on TV. And
I know.
Like,
I know.
I was struggling yesterday just between one football game and one baseball game.
I was flipping back and forth. Yeah.
What's going to happen this weekend?
You know what I watched yesterday afternoon? I watched Netflix has got a new series out about, sports crimes.
Ooh.
And I saw the episode of the Arizona State betting scandal from the 90s.
Okay.
And it was when a bunch of players... They were fixing games at Arizona State.
That's what I'm talking about. How do you fit that in?
I know. It was really good. It was a really good documentary. And the reason it meant something to me was because one of the players that was involved in the point shaving scandal was a guy by the name of Isaac Burton, and he's featured in the documentary. And Isaac was a player for the Las Vegas Silver Bandits, where I worked in media relations and broadcasting. And I kid you not when I tell you this, we would get calls from media people that would say, hey, I'm doing a feature on the team. I was wondering if I could get some interviews. And I'd go, oh, sure. Yeah. Who would you like? I'll see if I can arrange it after practice. And they go, oh, we'll talk to the coach. J.R. Henderson played for UCLA. We'll talk to him. DeAndre Hunter is a good player. He's got NBA potential. We'll talk to him. And Isaac Burton. Is Isaac Burton available? And I know exactly why they'd want to talk to Isaac Burton. Right, they would always muck it up with a bunch of other people they really don't have any interest in.
They're just looking at a roster. Yeah, and they just go, name a name.
Yeah, let's grab a couple of guys. Rocky Walls looks like he's got some statistics I could talk to him about. And let me just randomly pick another one. Isaac Burton. Would that be okay if we talked to Isaac Burton?
Yeah.
And I would tell Isaac, these people want to talk to you, and he knew why they wanted to talk to him. Because it was a couple of years. It was like 5 or 6 years after it occurred. And he knew why they wanted to talk to him, and sure enough. So it's been a couple of years since you point shaved for Arizona State. And he had to answer all. He was good about it, man. He didn't. He was he he was one of those athletes that was like, I'll get the word out. I was a college kid. I was broke. People come with big money. When you're broke as a college kid with big money and you feel like you're getting exploited, we're talking like $50,000, like $20,000 to $40,000. They'd give these guys to win by six or less than five. Right. They always tried to win. That was the goal. He's like, we always tried to win, but we always tried to kept it close. But I was fascinated to see him in this, you know, today. This was 20 years ago when we were doing the Bandits. It's almost been 30 years since he did that. But it's pretty cool. There's a bunch of others that they have. It's like a series of different crimes that happen in sports. So it's like an hour. It was like an hour long. So okay. They're really short. But yeah, it was kind of neat to
and
see that.
And somehow, some way, you got to try to figure out how to marry that into all the other action that's going on this weekend.
I know.
Between
too much.
Playoff baseball, between college football. I mean,
Penn State, Iowa. Oklahoma, Texas.
Who would have thought that would be a game that you need to tune into?
Yeah, exactly. Real quick on that Arizona State story. You know how they caught them? You know how they figured out the scam? What was going on? Vegas. Vegas was getting too much money on whatever team it was they were playing. Like one game, it was Washington. And they said that one guy in one of the sports books that was collecting bets told one of the guys who routinely bet on Arizona State, says, hey, there's a bunch of kids in Arizona State shirts that are betting like they know the score already. There was so much money on Arizona State in these or the opponent in the game that moved the line too much that they went, something's wrong. And that's how they monitor that stuff. It wasn't like an investigative journalist or whatever. It was Vegas protecting Vegas, where they went, yeah, this is rigged. This whole thing is rigged, and we're going to shut it down. And that's how the dominoes started falling. All right, enjoy all of the action this week, and we'll come back Monday to wrap it all up on Sports Map Radio.